question or read this question.
And the question is, one devotee was speaking to me recently, and they were asking me, think when you shoot the and I said yes, and this person, they got very intensely heavy with me, and sort of like said that the Prabhupada said just to hear them think, and I was thinking that it didn't quite sound right to me, that it seems that think without thinking we wouldn't be a living being. So certainly we want to hear the mantra, but just my question is, when we chant it, when we're hearing, are we supposed to think as well, and if so, what should we be thinking about?
This question is what we're thinking. How can you not think of Krishna when you're chanting Krishna's name? So it's a very simple thing. The name of Krishna is Krishna Padiya. And as such, it naturally carries with it the understanding of Nami. Whose name is it a name of? Just because Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different doesn't mean that Krishna's name doesn't have a possessor. Otherwise, why do we say the name of Krishna? So, there's a person behind that name. So, that's essential, that we must think of the person. Otherwise, it's impersonalism. Some people have this conception that you just block everything out of your mind and only just get absorbed in hearing the sound vibration. And allow the sound vibration to kind of like engulf your whole being. But unless that sound vibration unlocks the door of remembrance of Krishna, what is the underlying all-encompassing rule that's the king of all rules? That's always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna means Krishna's personality. Nam, Rup, Guna, Lila, Dham. All these things. They want to say prophet said. There's a very nice prophet said. Something to the effect, not having it here to read in front of me, but to the effect, that day should come when as soon as we chant the holy name of Krishna, immediately we'll remember his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. It must come to that position. In the beginning, that okay, just try to hear. But unless you fill the cup of the mind with nectar thoughts, then you can hardly expect to drive out the poisonous thoughts. So we have to fill our mind with thoughts of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's sweetness. And if there's any difficulty with that, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that if there's any difficulty in more or less conjuring up the image of Krishna within your mind, as if you could do such a thing, that you can perhaps paint a picture of Krishna in your mind. But if there's any difficulty in getting Krishna's darshan, or seeing the form of Krishna's transcendental body in our mind while we're chanting the holy name, then there's an easy solution that he offers. You know what that solution is?
Yeah, it's a picture.
You chant in front of the deity or in front of a picture and absorb your heart, your eyes in full surrender, absorb your whole consciousness and drinking in, he says, drinking in the beauty of the face of the deity while you're chanting. And my recommendation, as far as that goes, is that every one of us has a particular picture that we like more than other pictures. For you, it may be one picture. For me, it may be another picture. But there's something about some particular picture which grabs our heart more than another picture. So, the best thing to do is to find that picture that you like the most. The one that turns you on. It makes you feel like falling in love with Krishna. And chant in front of that picture. Allowing your heart to go to him and allowing yourself to fall in love with him while you're chanting. Thinking that, how nice it's, you know, such a beautiful cave, you know, such a, you know, if I could somehow rather have him, you know, as my own. And there's a way of doing that. There's a way of getting Krishna as your own. Krishna will give himself to you. You gotta be careful there. What are you gonna do with it? When he does that. You might have to show him the stick. But it's really important that we come to the position. Another thing he said was that the holy name is like a code. It's like a code which immediately opens up a treasure trove of remembrance of his Rupa Guna. Like you have a certain code word, and when that code word manifests, then suddenly the door is open to the whole kit and caboodle. So that's supposed to happen. There's two platforms of remembrance. One platform is when Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are spontaneously arising in your heart while you're chanting. That's the more advanced platform. Before that, there's another platform, just like having the picture in front of you. And as far as remembering, using your mind, thinking of something, remembering something, and that's to remember things that you've heard about. In other words, if you've heard descriptions of Krishna's qualities, you can remember those descriptions of Krishna's qualities that you've heard about while you're chanting. Or if you remember hearing about, you know, Krishna's leelas with various devotees, then you can try to recall. At least we may not be able to verbatim reconstruct exactly what we heard, but the gist of what we were hearing about. There's something nice about that leela that we appreciated while we're chanting.
Well, when Mr. Woody asked me what I was thinking, but the first thing that came to my mind was, like, when I'm chanting during the morning, I'm trying to prepare for my day's service. And trying to enter into the right mood of my service is food distribution. So, trying to get the right attitude and the right state of mind and praying to Krishna for the qualities to be able to do that service. And Mr. Woody, he wasn't happy with that. He said that there was a speculation on that part. And those kind of things that go into your head and you think, well, there's a speculation on that part. But, you know. But I was a bit disturbed by that.
Anyway, sometimes that happens naturally. It's much better to think about the external services that you would like to be performing for Krishna than to be thinking about any variety of other garbage that could be polluting your mind. Thinking about sexual attractions or various other arguments, the jalpas, whatever that your prabhu has kicked you off in this way or that, and you're busy blaspheming him while you're chanting the holy name. Those things should definitely be avoided. But it's better to directly think of God and Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, or Nityananda, while you're chanting. It's not wrong to think of seva. After all, in the highest realm, we will be doing seva in relationship to God and Krishna's Astakaliya Leelas, the Eightfold Pastimes. in the culture of Rag Bhajan, it's not enough simply to internally absorb yourself as a spectator of the leelas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the idea is to, in your bhavdeha, that means your mentally conceived siddhadeha, which is your original spiritual form, which is revealed to you at a certain point, by Krishna's grace, by Guru's grace, the details of your sarup, etc., should come to you at a certain point. And at that time, in relationship to your particular individual likings for a particular kind of service, and in terms of the Hastakalila format, you will assist in Rana and Krishna's leelas in various ways, or participate in the leelas. And all that's going on, that internal bhajan, contemplating your eternal relationship with Krishna in the context of the leela format, all that's going on while you're chanting your japa, or while you're doing kirtan. Because it's absorption in nam, it's absorption in Krishna's root, Radha Krishna's root, absorption in their qualities, absorption in their leelas, and also serving the leelas. So certainly, that's an elevated platform. That's not to say that the external activities of serving the Sankirtan mission cannot be as elevated. They can certainly be as elevated, but for the most part, most of us, if we haven't gone to this position of actually doing the Astakalaya Lila Smaran Seva in our chanting, if we haven't gone to that position, then we could hardly say that we're on the same elevated platform. Most of us are just relatively neophyte. We're not so highly internalized in our bhajan, and we are more or less going through a external purificatory process by which our senses are having some Krishnaized engagements, etc., in his service. And gradually that's supposed to bring us around to the point of focusing our mind and our endeavors, our thinking, feeling, and willing for Krishna, for his pleasure, cultivating that attitude which ultimately has to be internally applied. You know, by cultivating the para upakara mood externally, then you become more fit to understand its internal application in relationship to Radha and Krishna's leelas. So that's like a stepping stone to higher internal bhajan. But the principle of seva in the endeavor to cultivate the proper service attitude is quite correct. There's nothing wrong with that, even in relationship to the time that we're chanting. But it shouldn't come to the point where you're so absorbed in thinking about how are you going to distribute a book that you forget about Krishna. In other words, the whole idea is that all of our activities are supposed to help us come to the position of remembering Krishna. So it's good to at least spend some time. There's plenty of time for cultivating those thoughts and endeavors. We do that while we're doing that service also. Our book distribution or whatever service we may be doing, trying to cultivate the idea of pleasing Guru and Krishna by that activity. So that goes on continuously, practically, as long as we're doing these activities. Day and night we're thinking about how to do it. Now we may get some kind of special inspiration. Sometimes Krishna may fulfill our desire for gaining some insight into things while we're chanting japa. But my personal opinion is that while we're chanting japa, it's better to try to go a little deeper internally by remembering Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes. And you'll find that by doing that, automatically, you know, devotional attitude and inspirations for engaging in the external preaching platform will increase. Because we'll be more Krishna conscious, conscious of Krishna, conscious of the person, consciously absorbed in ego purifying, means identity purifying relationship with Nam, Rup, Nirvana, Krishna. Why not spend some time thinking of Krishna's consciousness? All day long we're thinking about everything else. So give ourselves a chance, at least for a couple hours in the morning, an hour and a half, an hour long, take this, you know, at least for that time, give ourselves a break from all those activities and spend some time just being with Krishna. It's our golden opportunity, which has been given to us by our spiritual master. Just to have that time, this is my time to be with Krishna. And that time is my time to help others have the chance to be with Krishna. But this is my Nikunja Seva. Don and Krishna have come to be with me in my Nikunja, to accept my heart's outpouring to their lotus feet. That's my personal feeling. If we're not practiced at doing that, and our mind naturally tends to run toward something external, then it's far better to do what you're doing than it is to just allow the mind to go mad after material gratifications. But it is kind of more on the external platform, so it's easier for the mind to springboard from that to other external engagements than it is to springboard from absorption in Radha and Krishna's.
I guess why, when service comes to mind, is because that's where I really experience Krishna. You know, like I feel that each time, like I meet another person, that I really feel Krishna's presence there, and I feel Krishna's love for that other soul. And I feel, that's where I experience. I mean, for you, it seems obviously that you get such a experience of Krishna through your kirtan. But for me, that's like my kirtan, and when I'm experiencing Krishna. So it's not just talking about the mechanical strength or the mechanical process of getting out of it, but that I can feel or be an instrument of Krishna's love in that situation more and more, and to understand Krishna's love more and more.
Yes, that's good. But there's more. And you have to eventually start realizing that, taking steps toward the understanding of your direct relationship with Krishna. It's a little indirect.
Yeah.
You know, Krishna is a person, and Krishna wants to have a personal, loving relationship with you that actually goes beyond all these other things. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he had one of his heart attacks. So he told that he had Krishna's darshan, and he told Krishna that, please let me stay for a few years longer because my institution is very fledgling. The devotees are so new and so young and unexperienced. So please give me a little more time. And then, you know what Prabhupada said, Krishna said to him? Are you aware of this? Krishna says, okay, go on with your nonsense. He was calling Prabhupada's whole effort to preach to deliver fallen conditioned souls nonsense. Krishna wanted him back to dance with him and play with him and enjoy his company, and here's Prabhupada, you know, separated from Krishna, and Krishna's feeling separation from Prabhupada. It's not just that devotees feel separation from Krishna, but Krishna's also feeling separation from devotees. And Krishna wanted him back to enjoy in his company. The Prabhupada's saying that, no, I have to get my mission solidly established, otherwise it'll crumble after I'm gone. And Krishna's telling, okay, go on with your nonsense. Thank you. This is a room conversation. Like Krishna, okay, you know, the external activity of preaching Krishna consciousness in this world, that's good for us. You know, it's like this is something meaningful to do along the way. And so we come to, you know, a position where our relationship with Krishna has deepened. Not that preaching to fallen conditioned souls cannot be deep in terms of expression of our desires to satisfy Krishna, but that's not the only aspect of Krishna that has to be satisfied. There's a whole other realm of Krishna. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada says that in Golok Dham, sometimes, time to time, once in the blue moon, Krishna and his eternal associates think of the plight of the fallen conditioned souls. It is not constantly on the forefront of their mind that, oh, we got to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, oh, we have to deliver, preach. No, it's not. Sometimes that thought might come to them. It's just like, how often do you think of the people in the prison? It's like, you know, life is going on. We've got our daily activities. We don't think of the prisoners in the prison and all these things. Maybe if someone tells us about some prison preaching program, we'll think about people in prisons. But it's not like we're completely absorbed in thinking about the prisoners in some prison somewhere. You know, we're getting on with our daily activities. We're getting absorbed in what we're supposed to be doing. We're not worrying very much about what the prisoners are supposed to be doing. But we have a relationship with Krishna that's on that level also. Right now we're still in the prison, so we're having to think in terms of what prisoners are all about. Okay, we're making progress, and hopefully we'll be up for parole pretty soon. And maybe we should try to get a few others on the parole list. And that's very nice. But the fact of the matter is that there is a Krishna. Yeah. There's a Krishna consciousness which is beyond us. Not that we want to jump like monkey, as Prabhupada would say, perhaps. But it is there. And the golden opportunity to at least get a little absorbed in that is there at least 2 hours a day when we really have nothing else to do. We're not running out the door with a book bag. We have that opportunity. Srila Prabhupada gave us that by his order. 2 hours, at least an hour and a half, 16 rounds. Not more. You can spend as much time as you want. There's really another room. After all, why are we distributing the books to everyone? So that they can become Krishna conscious and also fall in love with Krishna and also enter into Krishna's eternal passion. That's why we're distributing the books. We're distributing the books so that someone out there will come to the position eventually of actually going back from back to back, entering into the Bhoma-lilas for further training, and then onward to Golok.
Is it a question of asking Krishna in our chanting to that we want to reawaken this relationship? Because maybe we're not ready for it or something. Or I mean,
but we're supposed to be getting ready for it, at least.
You know. Should we be praying?
Why not ready for it? You know, we can die any moment.
This is true.
What are we holding back? Krishna's not looking at what you've given him. He's looking for what you're holding back. If we are not ready for it, why aren't we ready for it? Why don't we want to be ready for it? What's wrong with us? The book was distributed to us for the purpose of getting us to enter into his eternal pastimes and go back home back to Godhead. We're not going back home back to Godhead so we can distribute a few books. We're distributing a few books so that maybe Krishna will be merciful to us and see that our heart's in the right place and give us the inspiration intelligence, the Dhani Buddhi Yoganism, intelligence, how to come to him, how to enter into his eternal pastimes with his eternal associates.
Well, what is the most humble mood then in which we can pray for that, considering our or my own present condition?
The humble mood? The humble mood is that I can't cry for Krishna, so at least I should try to cry because I can't cry. And if you can't even do that, then try to cry because we can't cry because we can't cry. I'm very fond in this. I'm going to be able to get from here to where I'm supposed to get. I mean, mercy. So, any mercy you can give me, please mercifully enlighten me. You know, jnana dipena bhashvata, within my heart, destroy this darkness born of ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of my eternal constitutional relationship with Krishna. Ignorance of my real identity. Ignorance of our eternal services.
We are someone in Krishna's pastimes, and now I'm covered by Prabhupada described as an envy towards Krishna as being the enjoyer. We want to take the position of being the enjoyer. So, it's the fear is to go through that big operation, you know. It's like someone saying, okay, we're going to operate here on you for cancer or something. It's like the kind of, you know, the fear of, and what that's going to entail to remove that legal.
Well, the first thing it does is it reveals to you how insignificant you actually are. That's what we're most afraid of conditioned souls. We're so afraid to gain the realization of how absolutely insignificant it is. Because then, that much less we can pretend to be God. As long as we're still maintaining some concept of being something important, everyone has an eternal importance in that the infinitesimal jiva has its purposefulness in that little teeny unique aspect of something which adds at least a dust particle of pleasure to the complete whole pleasure pastime of Krishna. We have our unique contribution to make. So in that sense, it's not that we're not important. And Krishna, in his own eyes, can magnify our insignificance. Especially if he sees that we're taking shelter of that arena. Then he becomes inclined to notice us.
Does everyone have a sense of specialness in relation to Krishna? They feel like I'm special to Krishna?
Yes. Every individual soul.
The part of reflection.
But our specialness is in our insignificance. Because there's a special experience in Krishna when he surrenders his unlimitedness to the feet of the insignificant. When he becomes defeated by the insignificant. When he gives himself to the insignificant. That's something that's a little special. It's not so remarkable that Krishna could be defeated by the unlimited. In that sense, the fact that Radharani can defeat Krishna is not so remarkable. But if he admits defeat to some little insignificant, 1/10,000 size of tip of a hair, next to nobody, in comparison to Radharani, you know, what are we? But Krishna derives pleasure out of admitting defeat at the feet of the Vivananda. So that's a pleasure that he also wants. That's a sportive leela that he also wants to enjoy. That's giving himself his unlimited to the limit. There's a special fun he gets out of it. So
we serve that purpose, to be conquered by the, you know, how is it possible? The unlimited becomes conquered by the nature. Krishna enjoys that. That much importance we have, insignificant as it may be. So we can have a sense of being worth something in Krishna's eyes. But we don't realize that until we actually realize the beauty of being insignificant. That's what the whole thing is all about. The first mercy that Krishna gives us is the realization of how insignificant we are.
Is that in relation to the liberated soul as well? Because it would seem that, like, if we're objects of Krishna's love, Krishna loves everyone, so wouldn't that give us a sense of significance or specialness? That because we're appreciating or grateful for Krishna's love, that we would feel significant in that respect? I can understand my insignificance from my condition point of view. It's completely insignificant what I'm saying, but from the perspective of the liberated soul, I would think that it's kind of hard to feel insignificant because I'm a recipient of Krishna's love.
No, but there's natural humility. Humility is the ornament of prema. And the fact of the matter is that no matter how we stack the deck, we're vivanas. We're eternally separated, fragmental particles. We're like sparks. And we become beautiful when we're associating with the fire of water and with love. With Krishna. Thus, the significance is that we dance in the proximity of Radharani. That's the significance. Without that, there's no significance. We become apparently significant in a real way by associating with Radharani.
That's very high for us. It's like I'm just so full of false ego. I can't even hardly go there with you.
What is that false ego? False ego is thinking from a material perspective that we're greater than we actually are, that we're something important, that we're an important book distributor, or whatever it may be, important pujari, important temple president, important, these are all bodies. They actually are not our eternal identity.
Is our service in the spiritual world important?
Yeah. Not indispensable, but important for us. It's like, is Krishna's mercy important? There's no difference between devotional service and Krishna. So, of course, our service is important because our service is Krishna, I say. Because Krishna's important, not because we're important.
Mm. Mm.
The service is important because Krishna's important. Whatever little importance is there on our account, is simply due to the fact that we are also required to make up the complete whole. The unlimited cannot be unlimited without including the limited. So we are also required, you can say, unlimited has to include both things, important and unimportant. We more or less fall in the unimportant category. But it's important. That there is an unimportant, for there to be an unimportant category to fall into.
I'm trying to understand this now, because say if you were married to someone, for example, and the person, if you felt that you were unimportant in that relationship, it would be hard to be motivated to love and serve them.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're
unimportant. No, your unimportance should move you to realize how you can become important. There's no relationship with Krishna to feel like you have some sense of importance unless you surrender to the feet of the eternal associates of Krishna.
You have to become taken on board by them to have any standing at all. So we have to realize how unimportant we are, in that we're incapable of directly approaching Krishna, having a relationship with Krishna. We are eternally bound. Either we're bound to Mahamaya, the external energy, or we're bound to the internal spiritual energy. It's our constitutional position to be bound. So we're either bound to one or bound to another. So we have to realize that our insignificance, our unimportance, is such that without being bound to the internal pleasure potency, we will not have the shakti to do what is required to actually give much pleasure at all to Krishna. He won't even recognize us. Back to the jailhouse. So we need to be recommended. The idea is to be recommended. And Radharani recommends the devotee. She goes so far as to say, "Dear Krishna, just see this beautiful devotee. This devotee is better than me." And then Krishna will say that, "Oh, he, she is better than you? Then she must be very nice, if you're thinking that she's better than you." Then Krishna turns his glance from Radharani for a millisecond to place his favorable glance on little insignificant us. And Krishna's mercy, his glance can turn into eternity.
Good. I don't want to take any more of your time. Thank you very much, dear.
Take time. It's not that when you enter into meditating on not in Krishna's Rupa, Guna, and Leela in the course of your chanting, that we're supposed to be thinking that, "Oh, now I'm becoming very great and advanced Bhajanamundi." Then it means that we're missing the point. You know, right now we're thinking we're great, very advanced Bhakti computers. But there's another realm of greatness and advancement that someone can think to impersonate highly self-realized Paramahansa, this Kinshan of Bhajanamundis, thinking that now I'm really getting up there. Now I'm really good. No. We should be thinking that I can't live without Radha and Krishna. I can't live without the association of the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. I'm supposed to be seeing my Guru. Nikunjayuno Rapi Kuru Sudhani. Yaya Rapiru Yukura Krishna. I should see my Guru. There's one level to think of that verse in terms of how the Guru is helping to make arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's pleasure pastimes by bringing other conditioned souls into the fold through the Sankirtan movement. That's one level. But that's not the only level. We should be seeing our Guru as eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, and thinking of how to enter into our eternal service to Radha and Krishna. The whole purpose of this whole show in the material world of distributing Krishna consciousness is to bring others along with ourselves. Not that we're bringing others, but we ourselves are not going. We also have to go back home, back to Godhead. And that means making the advancement that we need to make. If we're not interested in making the advancement that we need to make, at least by becoming conscious of what there is in the realm of Krishna consciousness we need to go toward in order to make that advancement. It's we who have to take the steps. The whole purpose of that book coming into our hand and Krishna inspiring us to open this book is to induce us to go the full 9 yards back home, back to Godhead. We have to go to the goal. Otherwise, the purpose of that book coming to our hand is not fulfilled. So we have to very seriously and deeply consider what is the goal of our life. What is the goal of all of our activities? The goal of all of our Bhajan Kriya is to attain the eternal Leelas of Radha and Krishna. And also we can simultaneously attain the eternal Leelas of we have to go in that direction. It's not enough just to remain
an external divinity. We may be on that platform now, but we should know that there's another realm, and that that realm is available to us. Well, I want to go, but that means no.
Like Ross says, when you make these decisions, like sometimes, yeah, I cannot do it now, but you know, later. Maybe,
later when?
Yeah,
later after
when
I'm dead and gone?
You cannot do it now, then it's a part in the life. Because obviously.
Now can be an eternity.
Yeah.
Now means you're stuck somewhere in Vaikuntha for eternity. Because you never develop your really internal attachments to God and Krishna. You didn't give yourself a chance to hear about their beautiful readings from the books of the Goswamis. When will that day come? When I will attach myself to hearing the Goswamis' descriptions of God and Krishna's rulers. Only by the Goswamis to Vrindavan, beginning with them and further down the reciprocal succession of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. These Goswamis have elucidated the principles of Raja Bhakti Bhajan and have revealed the incredible sweetness of Radha and Krishna's Parakya Rasmai eternal leelas, nitya leelas. They've given the real understanding of Radha and Krishna. Before the Goswamis, Nimbarkacharya was also preaching Radha and Krishna, but his preaching of Radha and Krishna was Swakya Maya, and his mood was the mood of Sambhog Leelas, where they're always together, Nitya Nikunj Vihar. Nitya Nikunj, always in the Kunj. There's no Nanda Maharaj in that realm where they go, in Golok. There's no Yasoda Mayim, there's no cowherd boys, there's no cows. Even though it's Golok planet, there's no cows in that Leela scene. There's nothing except for Krishna as the Supreme Purusha. And Radha is his duly wedded wife, and her friends, maidservants, and Sahachari, Sahali. No, it's Madhurya. But there's nothing that will create that feeling of Vipralamba. Very little. There's no understanding, as is described by the Gaudiya Acharyas, of the influence of Vipralamba. They see it as antagonistic to Radha and Krishna's ongoing, already ever-expanding bliss of being with each other, which is what they always want to be with each other, so why make them separated? That's their understanding of Radha Krishna Tattva. But in the Gaudiya line, the basis of our intention to augment the bliss of Radha and Krishna is Vipralamba. Vipralamba is pervading throughout the realm of Russia.
So I think your Gordon Pike is the most beautiful I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's so fun. It's really beautiful.
It's getting late anyway, I have to put them to rest.
There's no problems here anyway.
Well, we are back from back to back.
These kind of discussions are really, to me, the purpose of visiting Russia. There is no opportunity I'd like to participate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take your time now and at least it is your blessing that I attain more proper mood of chanting of Hare Krishna. Just to give me blessing.
You know what the real mood of chanting is?
Crying.
I will go always anywhere. I will be there. The mood of chanting is the same as your eternal things as you can move, like serving Krishna in one way or another. Just like Mother Yashoda, when she changed the name of Krishna, what is her mood? Her mood is the name of this is the name of my son. Radharani chants the name of Krishna, and this is the name of my mother. And Yashoda chants the name of Krishna, his mood is, this is the name of my friend. So that's the mood. That's the actual mood. Mood is that she's my Swami now. She is the treasure of my mood. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That's our mood. Now, if we haven't gone that far, then we should have a mood of begging for the mercy of being enlightened about our real mood. What does mood mean? Mood means Bob. So what is our Bob? Before we attain Bob, there should be some recognition of our natural inclination toward the particular mood. Yes. Yes. Certainly yes.
Even on a level.
Yes. Depend on what your level is, but from the stage of the Narsana Vritti, that's quite earlier in the game. In the stage of the Narsana Vritti, one can begin to get a clear idea of what direction I'm naturally attracted to. I'm attracted to hear stories about Krishna's dealings with the gopis. I'm attracted to hearing stories about Krishna's dealings with Mother Yashoda. I'm attracted to stories about Krishna's dealings with his sons. I'm tossing off sagging on here. And meat frog and 30 cows and
whatever. Maybe when I analyze it, I feel also there's a lot of mixture in it, but I know the author and also this is like purest, this is the best you can offer. That's why I want to give in this move.
Because it's the best.
Because I know it's the best.
Yeah, but one thing is that a mother could never think like that. A mother could never think that because this is the best, therefore I want to give my body to my son. She could never think like that. A friend would not be interested in thinking that I should become a girl. You know, where's my turban? Where's my cowhide? Give me my buffalo horn. Let's go out. A friend would never think like that. A servant could hardly think like that. It's not possible for anyone to think like that unless there is the capacity for it. Even though it's not completely above the intellectual platform.